This morning's reading is Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. And this may be found on page 448 of the Pew Bibles. Psalm 1, 1 to 6. The way of the righteous and the wicked. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows that the way of righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
One of our great hopes as a congregation is to grow together in our prayers. Beginning in September, we're going to be holding regular prayer evenings every other Wednesday here in the church. Next Sunday, we'll see members of the worship team beginning to share in leading prayers at our services on Sundays. Each week before the sermon, I've been using this prayer, which I found some years ago in a biography of John Stott, who was the rector at All Souls Langham Place in London. I thought it would be good if we were to begin to share this prayer together, praying that God would be at work and would make himself known to us as we worship him. So it's on the screen and it's in the sheet, and week by week we can pray this prayer together. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory, our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wonder if anyone recognises where this is. This would have been the great west door at Whitby Abbey, except now there isn't any door left. There's two door posts and a bit of a lintel at the top. Psalm number 1 and Psalm number 2 stand like two doorposts at the entry point into the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is rightly well loved. The singing of metrical versions of the Psalms has become associated with Scottish Presbyterianism all over the world. But over the years, as I've read and prayed and studied the Psalms, I've grown to be less and less comfortable with thinking of the Psalms as some sort of hymn book. The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a very short book on the Psalms, which he called the prayer book of the Bible. And I think that's helpful. The Psalms, all of them, are prayers. Think about it for a moment. Think what that means. God has spoken, God has breathed out these words and given them to us so that we might breathe them out back to him in prayer. The collection of Psalms is a gift from God. Prayers to guide us into a living and ever-deepening relationship with God. God wants to live together with you and me. The Psalms are his pathway to lead us into that life which is lived in the presence of God. Doesn't that sound like something we would want? But there's a right way to enter into the Psalms, a right way to head off into this life lived together with God. If you don't enter through the doorposts, then you don't enter at all. There's only this way in, which is between Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the person. The first word in the psalm tells us that this book, all of these prayers in this book, are given for the person who would be blessed. The person who longs to know God's blessing in their life. There is blessing for us from God when we take these prayers and we make them our own. That blessing is life together with God, life lived in his loving presence, life which is lived in the way that God intended it. Psalm 1 sets before us two ways, the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous, the way of rejecting God and the way of hearing God's word. The doorpost then to our right hand as we enter into this book of Psalms is the gracious word of God, the word that God has spoken to us of his love for us in Jesus. If we would live together with God, we are to depend upon his life-giving and life-generating word. Look down at verse 3 for a moment. Here's where you get to look at your phones, and I'll assume you're not playing Pokemon. He, the person who is blessed, is like a tree. A tree which is planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. Trees are a long-term project. Years ago now, I was visiting a farmer in New Cumnock. His farmhouse, as many were, was quite isolated, maybe more than half a mile from the nearest road, and not another farmhouse in sight. As I was leaving the farmhouse, we're standing on the doorstep, and just over, a wee bit over to the right, was a long row of trees, close together and tall. I said, "That's a fine row of trees." The farmer said to me, "I can remember when Granddad planted them. He said they would keep the wind off the house, and he was right. That was 60 years ago. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many of those 60 years was there no windbreak at all because the trees were still growing. They weren't big enough to stop the wind getting at the house. Trees are a long-term project. That granddad planted trees to be a blessing to his grandson. That's a long-term way of thinking. A tree planted by streams of water is going to send down deep roots which will constantly suck up the living water deep into the tree so that it might grow and bear fruit. Such a tree doesn't move. It's not going to change its position. If it can have its way, it's going to stay by those streams of living water. What a contrast with the wicked in verse 1. They are walking and standing and moving with the other wicked and the sinners, only at the end of all their moving about, finally stretching out, as it were, on their lazy boy lounger of scoffing. This is the way of rejecting God. This is the way of not entering by the doorpost, and we want none of that. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. This is our way. This is our life. If we would know God, if we would follow Jesus, if we would see the Spirit of God powerfully at work in us, this is our way. Like trees, drinking deeply and constantly from the life-giving water. In Psalm 1, the living water is described for us there in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now I know there are a fair number of folks in the legal profession here today, but does anyone really delight in law? Andrew turns 17 this month. He's wanting to start learning to drive. I don't imagine for a moment I am ever going to hear him utter the phrase, "I really delight in the highway code." We might delight in justice, but not law. And not just for this reason, but for many, many other reasons. The Hebrew phrase in this psalm, the Hebrew word, betorot, betorot Adonai, the Torah of the Lord, is not well served by the English word law. It's not well served by the Greek word nomos or the Latin word lex. Law gets us off in the wrong direction. Much better is something like teaching or words. His delight is in all that God has taught him. Her delight is in all that her God has said to her. Have you got a letter or a card in a drawer at home? You maybe don't look at it often, but it's there. Sometimes you'll take it out and read it over. Words someone wrote to you thanking you or telling you of their love. You delight in those kind of words. What does it mean for us to delight in the teaching of the Lord? To delight in the words that God has spoken to us? He meditates upon his teaching day and night. What is meditation? Let me briefly say what it isn't. Meditation is not emptying your mind. Meditation is not thinking about nothing. Biblical meditation is exactly the opposite of that. The context in Psalm 1 teaches us that meditation is like a tree planted by streams of water. Such a tree drinking up the life-giving water all the time, drawing up the water through its roots, a constant filling up. Have you ever seen a tree drink? Of course we all have. It's just we didn't notice because it stands there and does it all the time. Every tree we ever see is drinking, drawing water into itself. That's meditation. Drawing the life-giving words of God, the life-generating teaching of God, deeply into our hearts all the time. I don't think trees guzzle at water. They're not young people on a night out in the grass market. Slow and steady, that's the way. I think sometimes we try to take in too much of God's teaching, too much of his word, all at the one time, and so we end up benefiting from none of it. Steady, regular, small amounts are better than binges. The idea of the Hebrew word translated meditate is murmurs, like talking over and over again to yourself. So it's okay to talk to yourself, the minister said so. Do we notice the world around us in ways that we would talk over to ourselves God's word? What about when we see a rainbow? Do we not say to ourselves, God promised never to destroy the earth again with a flood, and he's kept his promise. What about when we notice a field of sheep? Do we say to ourselves, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want? What about when we see a stream of water? Do we draw to our mind Jesus saying, and the water I give will well up within him, streams of water flowing? Do we notice God's words when we come together, when we sing our hymns that are filled with God's words, when we pray together, when we read God's word? Do we notice God speaking to us that we might draw it into ourselves, that we might have it at hand to meditate upon? I don't think the main idea in this psalm is obedience to law. Now, I'm not saying that obedience to law isn't important. We can get that in other passages of Scripture, but not in this one. What's the focus in Psalm 1 is listening to God, hearing God speaking to us of his love for us in Jesus, so that we might become like Jesus, so that we might serve God in his mission. Listening to God telling us over and over again how much he loves us. Delighting, finding deep satisfaction and enjoyment in all that God says to us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Perhaps we could say, listen, and really hear that the Lord is good. Like a tree planted beside streams of water, which give its fruit in season. There is an outcome. There is a result expected from meditation upon God's word. The person who drinks deeply from God's word grows fruit in their life. The fruit which comes from God's word. What might that fruit be? Well, the Lord Jesus, of course, is our best example of someone who meditated upon God's word, and we see the fruit of that growing in his life. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was tempted? How did he overcome that temptation? You're hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Deuteronomy 8:3, man does not live by bread alone. Or a second time, do a great miracle, jump off the temple. God's going to send angels to catch you and everyone will be amazed. Deuteronomy 6 and 16, you shall not test the Lord your God. One more time, worship me and I'll give you everything. Deuteronomy 6 and 13, worship only the Lord your God. The fruit of meditation upon God's teaching is victory over temptation. How many times have we sat on a Sunday? We've promised to ourselves, perhaps we've tried promising to God, this week I'm going to get it right. This week, I'm not going to sin. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to walk in your way. And before we get home for lunch, we've fallen to some temptation or other. If only we could call to mind the life-giving word of God. If only we were filled up with God's word that would stop us falling into temptation by teaching us his way. But we'll only call God's word to mind if we've already put it into our heart, if we've already meditated upon God's word, drinking deeply from all that God says to us day by day. What about the fruit of love, which grows in lives that meditate upon God's word? Remember when they asked the Lord Jesus which was the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. The fruit of meditation is not only that we can memorize such words from Scripture, but that they change our lives until they shine through us. In the garden, facing the torment of the cross, when the Lord Jesus prays, not my will, but yours be done, what are we seeing there? Stoic resignation? Resentful obedience? Is it not the fruit of love? Does he not submit his will to the Father because he loves him? Love the Lord your God is not a formula to remember, but a way of life to live. What about when the Lord Jesus healed the sick, acknowledged a woman kneeling at his feet, was patient and forgiving with Peter? What about every single story we read in the Gospels of the Lord Jesus? What do we see? The cold deeds of duty? A desire to show off that he can do miracles? Only love. Love which is vast and free. Love for those who loved him not. Love to forgive. Love to welcome all. On the cross, we do not see in the death of the Lord Jesus the victory of those who would oppose him, but the triumph of love. Love for you and for me. This is the fruit of God's word grown in his life. And we are called by God to love him. We are called by God to love one another. Haven't we all tried? Haven't we all tried to do this? And if we're honest with ourselves, we've failed. Do you long to know more of love for God in your life? Do you long to know that day when you love others as Jesus loves you? Do you long for the love of God to so shine in your life that it's obvious to others? This fruit can grow in your life and mine as we meditate upon God's gracious words to us. As we drink more and more of all that God has to say to us, we will see more and more of love for God and love for one another. We don't meditate upon God's word so that we might win Bible quizzes. We meditate on God's word so that His Spirit might grow in us the fruit of victory over temptation, the fruit of love for God, the fruit of love for one another, the fruit of patience and kindness and self-control. All this grown in our life as we drink deeply in all that God has said to us. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, like a tree planted by streams of water which gives fruit in season. Are you planted by living water? There was a woman who came to a well at midday. She met Jesus there. Jesus spoke to her about living water, which once you drink it, you will never thirst again. The water I give will be a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water." In the temple, surrounded by the crowds attending one of the festivals, Jesus cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It isn't difficult to live your life planted by streams of living water. All you need to do is ask Jesus. Do you think Jesus told us about these streams of life-giving water so that we would desire them and he would not give us them? By no means. The Lord Jesus reveals the life-giving reality of these streams of living water so that we can have them, so that we can grow lives of beauty for his glory. God wants to see you planted by his living water. He gives the Spirit so that this living water will overflow in you for the thirsty ones all around. All you have to do is ask him. All you have to do is believe the word that God has spoken. Sometimes, I wish it were harder than this. I think it would sound better if I were to say to you, "You know, if you read your whole Bible, you'll get a stream of water. If you say your prayers more, if you give more money to the church, if you go in service on the mission field overseas, God will grow streams of living water in you." But it's not like that. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Ask me, and I'll give it to you." Jesus will plant you beside the streams of living water because he loves you. He gives when you ask, as often as you ask. So why not ask today? Why not, as our service comes to a close, pray that God would plant your life beside the living water, that you would drink deeply from all that God has said to you, that your life would bear the fruit of God's love. Let's pray together. Father, we are humbled before your generosity. We want to do things, but all we have to do is ask. Give us that humble faith that will look to Jesus and ask him, "Lord, plant me by your living water. Lord, strengthen me to live for your glory by your living water. Lead me in this way, that I might be like a tree for your glory." Father, plant us there. Grow your fruit in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.